Let me remind you, by the way, of the message Sunday for tonight's message, okay? The nice message, Matthew chapter 12. I'll give you the title in just a second. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's some wise counsel there. It's also a warning, and it's very challenging. Because we know our words are very important. So I want to look tonight at the use and misuse of the tongue. How many of you use it for the right things? How many of you misuse it? You know, in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he says to them, Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. So we can see here that the words we speak can be very important, but they also can be something that can create problems for us, according to Matthew chapter 12. So we have some very important counsel in Matthew chapter 12 with a warning. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So ever how you're using your words, you better be sure that you're using them for godly edification and for what God is inspiring you to say. But when you look at God's attitude towards our speech, our words, it really gives you a right perspective of what God wants out of us. I mean, you got to take it and put it together. Because Matthew 12 is warning us, we will have to give account. And that's a lot to give account of, everything we've ever said. I mean, how long have you been living? And I've said a lot of things. I'm glad that a lot of it's under the blood. And I'm also glad that I have the privilege to go to the Lord and ask him at times to forgive me. But we see also in Matthew chapter 10, as well as Mark chapter 11, where it tells us there about our confession, which has to do with our words. Because he says in verse 32 of Matthew 10, Whosoever therefore shall confess me, that is Jesus, before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whoso shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, he puts the angels in there. He'll, you know, if we confess him before God, he'll confess us before the angels. Now that's important because in Hebrews it tells us that we have these angels that are ministering spirits to those who are heirs of salvation. So there's something there where God commissions them on our behalf to bring protection to our lives. So the more we say things, the better off good things, the better off we'll be. Because there's somebody there that's watching over us in spite of ourselves. So it shows us the importance of our confession. We know what the word confession means. The Greek compound word is homologia, which means to say the same thing as. Speaking the same thing as God speaks to us through his word. That's all he wants from us. We know that principle from Romans chapter 10, too. We've been taught that over and over again. Romans 10, verses 8 and following. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is a word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For out with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So the confession is basically an entrance way into salvation. So therefore it's also an entrance way into appropriating the promises. It's how we enter into them, by confessing them before the Lord. As we confess them before the Lord, he's a high priest of our confession. He confesses them before the Father. It also tells us in Proverbs 6:2, which we're very familiar with, you're snared by the words of your mouth. And do you believe that's true? So you can be snared or trapped. And then Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and everyone that eats of that shall partake of it. So whatever you're speaking out there is very important, life or death. And remember, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, about choose life, because God has given us life, not death, that we might live a long life. And then we have other passages like Colossians 4:6. It tells us there that by our words that we can minister grace to other people. Now, sometimes people are not too good at that. Let our speech always be seasoned with grace. It's Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So when you're talking to somebody, you got to have a little salt in your speech. That could be a little stingy. Could be a little problem. But he's not telling us to just speak smooth words, but he's telling us to season it with salt. And then we remember Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, where he tells us there, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you are that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So he's telling us there basically what we're to do. I mean, knowledge is what we are to have, and the understanding, I mean, the wisdom is how we're to go about things, and the understanding is why. Now, a lot of times we hear things, we know the what, but we don't always know the why or the how. Knowledge can be a troublesome thing to some people because, like 1 Corinthians 8 says, a knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And then we have that passage in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth except that which is to the use of edifying of one another. And that's interesting. Because what does that do? Verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. And so we can grieve God by corrupt, bad communication. You know, the hardest thing for people to do is to be able to communicate to other people in sincerity and clarity. I mean, making things clear. I mean, you can talk to somebody, and they can give you a lot of words, and you walk away, what did they say? You ever been there? And because, you know, it wasn't clear. It was kind of convoluted, confusing. And that can happen. Sadly so, it happens to a lot of Christians, too. So, don't take this personally. Remember Sunday's message, okay? James chapter 3 gives us a whole chapter about the tongue. He starts off, verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Because people who are in a position of leadership, you would say ministering the word, it's not hard sometimes for the things they say, that they have a right, a responsibility, and a privilege to sometimes rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering. Sometimes things you say can be offensive to somebody that's a little emotional, don't understand things. And you don't mean it to be that way, but that's the way it comes out. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And he goes on talking about we put bits in the horse's mouth, and how true that is, that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body with a bit. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So a little rudder can move a big ship. Now that's what your tongue is like. It's like a rudder. It moves this vessel that God's given us here in this life. Then he goes on and says, even so, the tongue is a little member, and it is. But it is a member of us. It's part of who we are. And it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I mean, look what's going on now with Korea in the United States, the talk back and forth, the threats, intimidations. They're stirring up a firestorm. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. So our tongue among our members can be like a fire that spreads a forest fire and destroys a complete city, a complete forest, and many things. So is the tongue among our members, it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. How true that is. But then he goes on, but the tongue can no man tame. Why? It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. We bless God with it, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed the blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? And so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth, because this wisdom that descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Well, that chapter ought to be one of our chapters we read every week to help us keep this tongue tamed. That will be a challenge to all of us. Read it once a week. I challenge you to do that if you can bear it. It won't hurt you to do it. It might hurt your feelings, but it might hurt your tongue, because that's what you call, you know, putting the tongue on the cross and putting a nail in it. Because it puts you in your place. Because you realize how much trouble can be caused from this. So the Bible has a whole lot to say about the tongue. It's amazing what it can say. And you look at what the words can do. It can open the door to salvation. If a person witnesses somebody and preaches a gospel in the good spirit and anointed of God in God's time, it can bring a person to salvation. And that person can make a confession to the Lord, repent of his sins. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it. But at the same time, somebody else can be out there and they can preach to somebody and they just run them off. Turn them off. They go away. They think, I don't want no part of that. That's true too. Or you can see people out there in the streets who are constantly cursing each other. Or people within the church and families who are bitter, full of unforgiveness and hate and bitterness. Things that are not good, by the way. And they speak those things throughout the day. And that's not good. So we see all that can open the door to salvation, open the door to conviction if you hear the gospel. It can restore relationships. Because if you can preach on the problem with wrong relationships and bring conviction in a person's life, hopefully you can bring that person back to the Lord where he's backslidden. Or it can close the door to the devil, because you can shut the door to the devil. Don't give any place to him. What gives place to the devil? Does our speech give place to the devil? Yes, it does. You say enough things, the devil's going to have an avenue to get into your life. I mean, and it, just confessing your sins brings us back into a right relationship with God. So those are good things and bad things. But words can offend. Words can hurt. All these things are taught in the Bible. They can wound, make bitter. They can make a person angry, full of wrath. Start wars. Word warfare. A lot of people, young people, can tease and jest and provoke one another to anger. Slander and gossip and criticism can destroy a marriage. That's all it takes. Two people that loved each other, made a vow, all of a sudden, it's all gone because they've been hurt. Something was said, cruel, out of sorts. And you can see where people manipulate people with words. I mean, the media does it all the time. And you look, I mean, they've got so much out there going today. I mean, these media people, I'm not here to preach against the media. I just don't like them. That's a known fact, and I'm not ashamed of it. Because those people are despicable. The things that they, the way they twist and distort things and what they say, they can't report the truth if it was right there before them. And they just do that to, in order to hurt somebody else. That's all their whole motivation is to destroy somebody else, a politician that they don't like. And so they report what they want reported. And so they begin to work. And politicians are no better than they are. Many of them. I mean, a lot of them just have their own agenda. They want to create chaos and confusion and cause a blockage in a lot of things and cause trouble throughout all society. They all have an agenda. But we can see also, I mean, even a salesman can be a person who can manipulate somebody. I've had that in my life over the years where a salesman would try to manipulate you to buy something. You ever get them to call you on the phone and try to get you to buy something? You know what to do? Hang it up. Now they're calling your cell phone. I don't know how they get those things, but I guess they get them and you have to do something. So we get to make a choice. We can overcome the world, overcome those evil things, and do what God says and stand on God's word and deal with the devil with our words, or we can be overcome by our words, because our very words can overcome us if we're not careful. So whether it's bitterness, hate, or angry, or whatever it may be, towards one another, anything like that, it's your choice to do the right thing with your mouth. I mean, remember what Romans 6 says? About verse 8, 9, 10, 11, I'll forget there and I'll tell you which verse exactly it is.